Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
Our subject today is the cry of demons. It's part two. Our Bible text is from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Amen. In our last message, we learned that demons do not want to be disturbed. They cry, "Leave us alone." There are people who say that we should not talk about the devil and demons. However, one of the first things we need to do in order to teach believers how to cast out devils is to locate where the devil is. Demons are good at hiding, and if they are not detected, they will remain safe in their place of residence. When you begin to identify the activity of demon spirits, it is amazing how many devils or demons you will end up by casting out. Once again, we read Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Notice that evil spirits are called rulers of the darkness of this world. This means that authority is dependent upon the amount of darkness present. The more spiritual darkness and ignorance exists, the more they can rule in that area. Identify demons is destructive to their kingdoms because it brings light into the situation. Identification destroys their cover in darkness. It brings them out of hiding and exposes them. Some say you don't have to call demons by their different names. Don't talk about the devil, just ignore him and keep your eyes on Jesus. But this sounds good, but it is exactly what demons want you to believe in. There are churches that won't teach deliverance and demons or teach about the different kinds of evil spirits. They don't usually cast out many devils or not at all. This is because demons are able to hide under the cover of darkness when they are not identified and cast out. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 to 13 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light." These verses explain that what we are doing when we identify evil spirits. We are exposing them. Things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. We are causing those evil spirits that are hiding and ruling under the cover of darkness to be exposed and made manifest. This is why there are so many manifestations after you teach deliverance and expose works of demons. Some say that you are exalting the devil when you talk about him too much. But we are not exalting the devil, just exposing him in order to cast him out. In fact, if you talk about him too little, you will give him the ability to hide and rule under the cover of spiritual darkness and ignorance. We read in Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 12 to 13. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we must give account. These verses tell us that every creature, including every demon, are manifest in the sight of the Lord. The Word of God lays open and makes bare the operations of evil spirits. They cannot hide, for all things are naked and open before the eyes of the Lord. Unfortunately, all things are not naked and open in the eyes of most believers. Most believers are blind when it comes to the operations of evil spirits in their own lives or in the lives of others. The Lord desires for every believer to have enough discernment so that evil spirits will not be able to hide and rule under the cover of darkness. He wants them to be naked and open before our eyes. Once this happens, you will find them stripped of their power and destroyed through the ministry of deliverance. Where are these spirits? We have to bring demons out of their caves. We have a story in Joshua chapter 10, verse 16 and 17. There was a war, but these five kings had fled and hidden themselves in a cave at Makkedah. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings have been found hidden in a cave at Makkedah. Then verse 22, then Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings to me from the cave. In verse 26, and afterwards Joshua struck them and killed them and hanged them on five trees, and they were hanging on the trees until evening. The enemy tries to hide from believers. Demons feel if they can hide, they will escape being destroyed. When Joshua found out where these five kings were in hiding, he brought them forth and destroyed them. Once you find the location of the enemy, no matter where they are hiding, you bring them forth and destroy them, spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, now may the Lord, the God of peace, himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in John 3:6, it says, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. From the words of Jesus, we see that your human spirit is part of you, that is the part of you that is born again of the Holy Spirit. But what about your soul and your body? The word soul is a Greek word, psuche or psyche. It is a psychological part of you, your mind, your will, and your emotions. This part of you was not born again. It may be affected by the new birth in your spirit, but it was not born again. Your soul must be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Word of God, as it says in Romans 12:2. Your will has to be submitted to God, James 4:7. In fact, your soul needs to be saved or delivered by the receiving of meekness in the engrafted Word, James 1:21. Your body has to be brought under subjection, 1 Corinthians 9:27. We also know that sickness, which can be a spirit according to Luke 13:11, and is an oppression of the devil, Acts 10:38, it can be in the bodies of born-again believers. Also, Christians don't have demons in their born-again recreated spirits. They many times can and do have demons in their souls or physical bodies. These are areas of believers are being progressively sanctified and preserved blameless according to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you will receive this revelation, it will be the first step toward receiving your deliverance and helping others to be delivered. Don't fall for the lie that Christians cannot have demons. That is what the devil wants you to believe. If you don't believe, you need help. And if you don't believe, you don't want to seek any help. Even though you may know from experience that there is something in you that is driving and controlling you. There are many believers who are bound in the area of emotions. Spirits of hurt, rejection, anger, hatred, rage, sadness, and grief can all dwell in the emotions. There are also spirits that can block and bind up the emotions. People with emotional problems need deliverance. Command spirits that are dwelling in emotions to come out and pray for the emotions to be healed and restored, according to Psalm 23:3. Third is the body. Demons desire to dwell in bodies and consider them their habitation. Different parts of the body can be the dwelling place of certain kinds of spirits. For example, stubbornness and rebellion can lodge in the neck and shoulder area. Spirits of lust can dwell in the eyes, in the hands, the abdomen, and any part of the body that has been yielded to sexual sin. Spirits of mind control and confusion would naturally dwell in the head areas. Pride can lodge in the back and spine area. Spirits of infirmity lodge in the body. Healing for the body is directly tied to deliverance. Spirits of infirmity must be cast out before healing can take place. In Luke 13:11-13, we read, "And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, 'Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity.' And he said, he lays his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God." Somewhere it says that she has been bound by the devil. He was clear. Jesus loosed this woman from the spirit of infirmity that was dwelling in her back and spine area. This spirit caused her to be bowed over. Jesus healed her by casting the spirit out of her body. When sickness and diseases are treated as demons and cast out, we will get great manifestations of healing. According to Acts 10:38, sickness is an oppression of the devil. The word oppress is a Greek word katadunasteo, which means to exercise dominion against. In other words, spirits of infirmity are exercising dominion against certain parts of the person's body. By casting them out, we destroy their dominion and see the person set free and healed. Many believers have not seen the close connection between deliverance and healing. But if we study the ministry of Jesus, we see him ministering healing to the sick by casting out evil spirits. In Luke 4:40-41, we read, "When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, 'You are the Christ, the Son of God.' And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ." Notice that as Jesus was ministering to the sick through the laying on of hands, evil spirits would manifest and he would not cast them out. In Mark chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, says, "For he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him. And the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, 'You are the Son of God.'" Everywhere Jesus went ministering with a healing anointing, demons would react and come out. Demons hate the anointing because it causes them to manifest and drives them out. When praying for people with infirmities, command the spirits that are hiding in the body to come out. You can also command spirits to come out of the bones, muscles, joints, blood, or nerves. Evil spirits that manifest through the tongue are often hiding in the heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Spirits that hide in the heart can include bitterness, lust, pride, fear, hatred, hurt, sadness, covetousness, greed, and unbelief. Cursing, lying, blasphemy, and murmuring, and filthy language are spirits that link up with spirits in the heart to manifest through the tongue. If the enemy can control your tongue, he will ensnare you through the word of your mouth. Proverbs 6:2. When praying for people with problems in the speech area, command the spirits that are hiding in the heart to come out. Number 5 is appetite. Appetite is a problem area for many people. I read of a young lady suffering from anoxia nervosa who had completely lost her appetite. She would regularly give back what any food that she tried to eat and was slowly dying of starvation. When they prayed for her and commanded the evil spirits to come out of her appetite, she began to scream and speak that it felt like someone sticking a knife into her stomach. But she was set free, regained her appetite, is now serving the Lord. Addiction spirits of food or alcohol or drugs can be in the appetite, causing the person to have compulsive desires of these areas. But we command these spirits to come out of the appetite. Remember, we need to bring demons out of the cage they are hiding in, to expose them and to cast them out. Once you know their location, where they are hiding, it will help you to cast them out. Addiction spirits can also dwell in the mouth, the throat, and stomach area. Number 6 is sexual character. Spirits of lust and perversion, adultery and fornication will invade and seek to control a person's sexual character. Along with sexual sin comes guilt, shame, and condemnation. It will hide in a person's conscience, causing them to feel guilty and ashamed. Sexual sin is a sin against the body, and the enemy wants believers to be bound in this area. We know of many Christians who are bound by pornography. Spirits of lust and sexual impurity can dwell in any part of the body that has been yielded to sexual sin. Pornography is an open door for lust spirits to invite the eyes. When you pray for people with sexual problems, command evil spirits to come out of the sexual character and different parts of the body. And the 7th is demon groupings. In Luke 6:18, it says, "And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed." And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. The word vexed is a verse in the Greek word okreo, which means to mob. A mob is a group of persons bent on riotous actions. Every believer needs to have a revelation that demons do not work alone, but they work in groups. They work in groups to vex believers. To vex also means to torment. For example, with the spirit of rejection comes hurt, bitterness, self-rejection, and fear of rejection. Believers need to become familiar with demon groupings in order to be more effective in thoroughly ridding people of demons. Certain spirits will usually link up with one another. Rebellion and witchcraft work together. So does stubbornness and idolatry. You need that in Samuel. When casting out spirits of infirmity, you will often encounter death and destruction. Be led, however, by the Holy Spirit, because there are endless combinations of spirits that will link up and operate together. When Jesus met the person with an evil spirit, the spirit cried out, "Let me alone," or "Leave me alone." Often these demons hide in a person's body, sometimes for a long time. They even stay in a person who is a professed Christian with the Holy Spirit. They wonder how certain things happen in their lives. These Christians, they wonder how certain things are happening in their lives. Maybe they have sexual appetites or eating problems or some anger. They say, "I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. How can these things happen to me?" In my worldwide ministry, I have seen people who are exactly like that. Professing Christians, leading the worship, but having evil spirits. Others don't want to be spoken to, so they stop attending the church and switch off their phone so that nobody can contact them. This is not because they feel tired or have no time. This is a spirit of seclusion. Deliverance is possible for everyone. Just understand that evil spirits or demons cause these problems. You may never have understood this. Maybe it didn't even occur to your mind. But demons are excellent in hiding themselves. Unless the person is delivered from those spirits, they continue in their state, sometimes even up to their death. But there is hope. The devil and his cohorts can be cast out in the name of Jesus. Speak to your pastor. He will minister to you. He will help you. And you will be delivered and you will be free.